Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I do want to thank the group that came in and decorated our sanctuary. It always looks so good. It looks awesome. I do want to thank David Musselman for being the lead clapper of the church family as well. And Phyllis has been kind of the point person on this for years and years. But it takes a team, and so thank you to everybody who was a part of decorating. If you look in your bulletins, there is this piece of paper. And what this is this is a discussion guide for families. What we're doing through the month of December is we are teaching the Christmas story. Parents, grandparents, this is a fun little take-home piece for you that Pastor Andrew created and put a lot of work into this. And so what we're going to do is this has questions, it's got scripture reading, it's got conversational points, but this is your family guide to sit around the dinner table and go over the Christmas story with your family. And so we'll have one of these for the next few weeks to kind of help coach our kids on Christmas. As we dive in here this morning, I want to tell you a little bit of history about two unbelievable authors in history in the man of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. Both of these guys were professors at Oxford at the same time in the 1920s. Can you imagine Oxford having two of the deepest of thinkers and communicators as far as authoring, if you will, in their writings? At the time, C.S. Lewis was an atheist and did not believe in God. And he would have these conversations with J.R.R. Tolkien, and they would talk about story and the importance of story and how the story would move the human heart and how story could recast God in these triumphant ways. And one of the stories they would talk about is Robin Hood. And Robin Hood was this underdog who would fight for the oppressed and for the depressed. And there was this hope for a returning king. And J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the story, The Return of the Kings. And we see this movement that they would have, and they would talk about what it meant in story when there was a king that would show up on the place. How would all the other characters interact, and what would the movements be that would take place when the king comes to town? In Matthew chapter 2, we see that the king shows up, and it gets wild. It gets crazy in this scene. I want you with me, flip in your Bibles. I do not have the scriptures on the board because I want us to hold these scriptures today. So either grab your Bible or grab the Bible in the seat back in front of you. And we want to talk about this king. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew is in the New Testament. It's the very first book of the New Testament. So it's going to be about two-thirds of the way into your Bible. Matthew chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, it says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Let me introduce some of the characters. Magi was just a shortened version of magic or magicians. Okay, so these were what we would call the wise men or the astrologers or the magi, okay? And King Herod, let's talk about King Herod. Maybe you would know him better as Herod the Great. Herod the Great was, he liked him, some of him, like Kanye likes Kanye. He liked him, some Herod the Great. And so he was walking around popping his collar. Did you know that the Olympics were going on during this time? He helped save the Olympic Games. He helped kind of breed that out into other Greek isles and kind of get all that sort of stuff going. He loved the fact that he was a major player in all of these different areas. He built a temple unto his own name, a temple that blew away Solomon's court It was bigger and badder than anything that anybody else had ever seen. This was who this guy really was. Doug Peterson, he writes in this article about Herod the Great, he writes some history here. And what if the problem isn't that Herod, what if he wasn't so great? What if he wasn't even Herod the so-so? What if he was Herod the monster? Because that's really who he was. Herod was only part Jewish, and he partnered with Rome in order to overtake Jerusalem. And you think, why would you have the title of being king of the Jews and yet subject your people to such terrible leadership? And so he would come in, he would lead Jerusalem, but he would put his people into punishment and almost into poverty. 37 BC, Herod is marching along as Rome is marching. I mean, Rome is taking over the known world. So 37 BC, Herod's got a fleet of an army. He's got 30,000 in infantry, 6,000 cavalry as they're moving across to conquer Jerusalem for Rome. Crazy that this would be the guy, the leader of your people, is sabotaging your own people. Because you're in leadership, we suffer, is what is happening. He took many Jewish leaders as prisoners, handed them over to Romans, who would then execute them. Herod had 46 members of the Sanhedrin executed. So imagine the president calling Congress and then killing 46 of them. That's what King Herod did. The Sanhedrin would have been like the Congress of the day, the Supreme Court of the leaders. Herod really was this puppet king for Rome at the time, but they still called him the king of the Jews. And here's what's even more terrifying, perhaps, is that Herod feared for his life from his own wife, Miriam. He thought that his wife was plotting to kill him, and so he had his wife killed. He then believed that his two sons were in on the plot, and so King Herod killed his own sons. The phrase of the day was this: better to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son. There's humor there, because Jews don't eat pig. So you're safe. You're safer if you're the pig than you are his own son, his own flesh and blood, because he'll probably kill you, but he'll spare the pig. This was a man who was marching on to promote himself to make, I am the king. I reign and rule. And if anybody comes to press against that, then there's going to be some problems here. And so we see this conflict. So we're going to have a collision of kings here in Matthew chapter 2, because there's a new king that is born who also is known as the King of the Jews. And so we see what's going to happen in Herod. Also this, whenever King Herod became sick and his death was imminent, he was about to die, what he did was he asked people to go around and grab the preeminent leaders of Jerusalem, throw them into jail. And then on the day that he died, all of these influential men would then be slaughtered. And he knew, everyone hates me, and on the day that I die, no one will cry. Unless all of these other men are killed, and then at least I know someone will cry on the day that I die, even if the tears aren't for me. How egotistical is that? So they captured all of these men, they threw them into prison, and yet they revolted against King Herod. And when he died, they let all of these men free. Thank God there was no more bloodshed. But this man was marching out, and blood was in his wake wherever he went. And so Jesus is going to show up on the scene, and the crowd start murmuring, this crowd start talking. The prophesied one has been born, the new king of the Jews, right? And so all of this causes Herod's insecurities to come screaming like bats out of hell, start coming out of his heart and out of his spirit. We see what happens when King Herod takes place. So we've got one kingdom. Hopefully I painted that in a pretty real way. And then we've got this kingdom that Jesus is going to usher in. And the collision of kingdoms, okay? The king of the Jews versus the king of the Jews. Check out this picture that we've got here. This is King Herod, who's just ticked off, and he's going to just hurt somebody. And we see Jesus full of joy and worship, and is this great, who's just enjoying his life. And so here's the picture of two different kingdoms that are going to have a head-on collision here. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So here we see this. Anybody remember that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are"? A couple things that I just want to make sure we stay with the Bible and not whatever random song grandma taught you, okay? We don't know that there were three. We don't know that they came from the Orient. It says that they came from the East. The Orient is East. But we don't know that. We don't know how many there were. Here's some things that we do know. We do know that they were not at the manger. So sorry. Precious Moments made a killing out of that. Put up your nativity however you want to put up your nativity, but it's wrong, okay? Jesus is already born. They're not there. And they see these stars that are going to point them to where they're supposed to go, okay? So now Jesus is already born. It says Magi start seeing the stars and they're looking at, you know, and the heavens. You know, we talk about Jesus came in such humble of ways, in a manger and as a baby. I don't know of any other birth on the planet where the heavens are shifting and stars are moving and angels are ascending and descending and talking to shepherds in the fields and talking to Mary and giving prophetic words to Joseph and stay, don't leave, and Herod's coming and go over there. I mean, the heavens are swirling and moving around during this birth. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's humble that he wore a diaper, but amazing that God became a man and heaven is moving. These guys are seeing this like, oh my gosh, we're pretty smart, okay? Let's go see and check out what is happening. Another one maybe that you've heard was Silent Night. How many of y'all love that song? Oh, I love that song. How many of y'all have ever witnessed a woman giving birth? It wasn't a silent night. I've seen it 3 times. It wasn't silent. The other one, the drummer boy. The drummer boy is so funny. So we've got this drummer boy who comes up to Mary, who's giving birth, and he says, "Can I play my drum for you?" "No! Get out of here! No, we're not playing the drum right now." And if you notice in the song, she doesn't really agree. It says, she nodded. "I'm Mary, I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to be nice." We have kind of some of these ideas about just kind of some different traditions, and I don't mean to like crush old Christmas traditions, but I do want us to learn the biblical story of what happened when Jesus came to earth, okay? So little drummer boy, not right now, kid. We got something else kind of important happening. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. Okay, so he's making movements. He's calling the Supreme Court together. He's calling the leaders. He's calling Congress. He's calling all the pastors and all the influencers. He's calling them together. And he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So he's doing some investigation. What's going to happen here? And here we see this man who should be Herod the Great, the baddest dude on the planet, starts hyperventilating about a baby in a diaper. His insecurities start coming out. And is this a threat to the throne? And this person's escalating too quickly. And why are they getting that promotion? And how did they get the influence? And why does everybody like them now? And he starts freaking out and all of his insecurities, I'll tell you, insecurities are a bad place to start making decisions. And fear is a bad decision maker. Fear is not a good filter. And whenever we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, we start doing things to people so that we can tear them down. We think that we're going to build ourselves up by tearing others down. And so he's got to preserve this throne because now there's two kings of the Jews that are existing in Jerusalem. In Judea, they replied, this is verse 5, for this is what the prophet has written. They said, let's stay with the Bible on this one, okay? But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. Oh, he's so sneaky, that snake. Secretly. And found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. So he's going back into history. The star appeared a while ago. Herod's just now hearing about it. The Magi still aren't with Jesus, so some time has happened. They weren't at the birth. Here we go, verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Wink, wink. I'm here to worship, right? You guys know my heart. I mean, come on, I'm a worshiper, obviously, right? I'm a good guy. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place that the child was. Not a baby. He wasn't a baby. He's now a child. Where the child was. Brock, you stinking hurt our traditions. Why do we got to look at the Bible all the time, man? This is what the Bible says. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's stop right here. Many times we say there were three wise men that came. Don't know that. The Bible does not say that. There were three gifts that were given. So sometimes we kind of liken that unto, well, they brought three gifts, so three people must have come. You must not come to Christmases that I come to, because people show up to Christmas without a gift all of the time, okay? And so there's some dudes there, showed up, oh, stink, man, I didn't like swing by like last minute. You know, sometimes I'll swing by last minute, gas station gift. I'm sorry, that happens. Aaron, you need to have a really solid selection over there at Hometown Express for last minute guys like me to get some good Christmas gifts. But some of these guys showed up without a present in hand. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay. Whew. Such drama, right? Jesus enters and just shakes up the kingdom. And all of the intrigue and all of the drama that is swirling around right now, this thing is happening. I want you guys, this might not like move you to like, ah, I really need to know what to do with my life right now. But a good historical lesson to where, man, I want to focus on Jesus. And when Jesus enters the scene, miracles happen. Angels move. Man, the prophetic is shifting. Heaven is peeking in. Guys, even now, heaven is peeking in on this. The angels are moving around in your life. I would just want to encourage you, guys, can we just start, if we want to believe in the magic of Christmas, can we just start looking more into the prophetic of Christmas? It's Christ has come, angels ascending and descending, heaven moving, frustrating kingdoms, people locked in to prophetic words all the time. It's unbelievable. As soon as Jesus comes, boom, stuff starts shifting. Isn't that wild? It's crazy what we see happen. So these guys get a prophetic word. Do not obey the king. Don't obey the king. Go a different way. And they pull out that GPS system. And one of the questions that we ask our kids in this paper, what if you heard that there was a king that was born in your hometown? Would you want to go check it out? Like, oh my gosh, he's born in Fairmount, Indiana? Like, we know James Dean was like the king of cool, but like the king of the Jews, like that guy. And so you're going to pull out your GPS and you're going to figure out how to like work this out. But the GPS was the OG GPS, right? The original tracking system that was in the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars. And they lock in as it brings them right to Jesus in this prophetic way. Verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord then comes and appears to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Jesus's childhood wasn't easy. Perhaps for some of you, childhood hasn't been overly easy. Jesus is born to a single mom whose dad, the Bible says, was contemplating on leaving her when he heard that she was pregnant without him. That he was born not of Joseph. Maybe some of you guys have received some of that news. Your girl is pregnant and it's not yours. I don't know. Maybe some of you girls have had that information. I'm pregnant and not married. Maybe you've been born to an unwed mother. Who knows what all of those different situations that are sitting in this church are today? And Jesus is like, I know. That's my story. Guys, you've got a story just like Jesus. And I know we're ashamed and we trip up. And we're like, I shouldn't have done that or lived that way. It's the way that Jesus came. And I just want to tell you, in whatever the situation is that you're in, Jesus can still come through that. There's a lot of Jesus that can come through whatever your situation is. Whether it was awesome, whether it wasn't, whether you had to move around a lot, Jesus is on the move. His childhood, he had to move. He was fleeing for his life. The king was after him. Interesting. Merry Christmas, right? I thought this is, it's just like Jesus in the swaddling clothes, and we bring some gold and some random other stuff that he's not going to use, and then like we just eat a lot. Fascinating how Jesus shows up on the scene. So they got up, they went to Egypt. They stayed there for a while, until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And I can't imagine what Herod looks like furious. You know what your dad looked like furious? Times 100, okay? This is Herod the Great. He gave orders to kill every boy in Bethlehem and every boy in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. So it's been a couple years since Jesus was born. In accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Can we pause one more time? When we move and operate in insecurities and in fear and worry and anxiety, it heaps devastation on the relationships around us. We're just not good. I just want to walk up to King Herod and like, bro, insecurity just doesn't look good on you, man. Like, you're supposed to be the baddest dude on the planet and you're freaking out. You're biting your nails over a two-year-old. And you're freaking out. And because of all of these other insecurities, and maybe you've had a leader like that. Maybe you are a leader like that. I'm not sure. But everybody else has to pay the price because of your frailties and your weaknesses. Maybe you've had to pay the price under some bad leaders. I don't know what those situations are. But Jesus is born into a scene where all of his playmates in school should be there in school. And they're all dead. All of his buddies, they should all be too. They should all be heading off to daycare and preschool. Or all the other mothers. We had a child. But Mary, because of your son, my baby's dead. Whew. Jesus shows up and death happens? Wait a minute. Such mystery. This wasn't just like some little humble beginnings. This was the world was shaken and devastated upon his arrival. People, I want to let you know, if you come through hardship and you've come with accusation and you've come and there's devastation around, can I just tell you, it's okay, you're in good company. Jesus can come through that stuff. That's Christmas. Jesus came through that very same situation that he had to walk through. We go on here in verse 17. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. You know, what we see here in the collision of kings is one that wants to build an amazing kingdom that soon will crumble because Jerusalem did fall. And we see another one who's going to build a kingdom that will last forever. And it's through joy and peace and love and grace. And the other one's full of murder and killing and backbiting and stress and worry and anxieties and insecurities. And guys, we just see there's a better way. And could I tell you that Christmas, what if the Christmas season was, you know what, I want to put away my old Herod behaviors. And I want to transition more into the image and the likeness of the Son of God. I'll say, Jesus, I just want to move into joy whenever it's full of worry and anxiety. I want to move into peace. Whew. Man, I'm just so frustrated over here. And that's just, that kingdom will fall. And I'm so hurt. I'm so damaged. And I just want to lash out, and it's full of murder, and that stuff just, it causes you to crumble on the inside. And Jesus just shows up on the scene. He's like, guys, there's just a better way. There's just a different way. Herod comes marching in with 30,000 infantry and 6,000 cavalry. And Jesus rolls in on a donkey and a handful of fishermen. He's like, I'm here. It's just going to be different. It's just a different kingdom. And I just want to encourage our church family, could we go about Christmas a little bit differently this year? What are a couple moves that you need to make where you say, you know what, there's a new kingdom in town, and the old has to pass away so the new can come? For me, I just want to pivot some busyness. I just want to lock in on family. I wrote down a vision goal that I want to be the CCO of my own home. It's the chief culture officer. And Alyssa said, yeah, and I want to be your number one manager of the home. Just some little pivots. Like, I just want to push away some of this old kingdom, the old regime, and during this Christmas season, man, we're going to double down, triple down on family, on joy, on creating unbelievable, memorable holidays. I don't know, whatever those things are for you. Jesus, I want to teach my children how to worship and not just be in pastor mode, or I'm like, I have to work right now, kids. I can't be your dad and teach you how to worship. I want to pivot that old thinking and say, I want to teach you how to worship when we come here together. What are those little things you say, the old has to go because there's a new king on the throne of my heart? Right? So as we close here this morning, the challenge is like, I want to own Christmas for all that it is, and it's more than hoping that Amazon gets it here on time. I'm hoping that God moves my heart for why Jesus came. The old has to end. The new has come. Would you all stand with me this morning, church, as we close? Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you've come. We thank you that you've shown us a new way. God, we thank you that old, broken mindset and anger, and hatred can just be gone and move away. Lord, we pray that we'd move into a season of worship, of joy, thanksgiving, and gratitude. Lord, we just honor you, and Jesus, we thank you that you did not leave us or forsake us, but you came to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.